This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Burger King, Commonwealth Bank, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, the Global Learning Exchange, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers, Popeyes, Bronze Electric Motors, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We shall not be debating vaccination efficacy or coronavirus potential harm today. We're going to talk about some other issues. And I think that there's enough to go around that we can have a good discussion about these things without drifting into things that are not really germane at the moment. All right, someone did send me a picture of the cap going in on. I don't know. I don't know what y'all want me to do with it. I don't know anymore. Anyway, today is World Alzheimer's Day. And today is, and September is World Alzheimer's Month. If you do have us tuned in via video streaming, you can see that I'm wearing my Bahamas Alzheimer's Association shirt. All right, and Alzheimer's is reportedly the most common form of dementia. My mother suffered from vascular dementia and wasn't diagnosed with Alzheimer's. But dementia is just awful in and of itself. Vascular dementia is when, because of prolonged hypertension and high blood pressure, certain blood vessels start to die out, become damaged, and certain parts of the brain stop receiving blood, and they start to go dark. All right, that's vascular dementia. It's one of the effects of hypertension over a prolonged period of time. So, and that's why I keep telling people that you need to recognize these things. And I won't dwell on it too much today, but I want to say this. So the reason you got to try to take care of yourself, the reason you got to watch your hypertension, try to watch your weight, watch, quit smoking altogether, watch your alcohol intake, is because, but twofold, you could get stroke, heart disease, and flop out at a very early age, one. But you also can live with prolonged hypertension, buildup of cholesterol, there's drugs you can take, etc. But over the long term, it's going to start destroying your body's organs. Now, everybody's going to die, okay? And no one's promised tomorrow. But you want to have as good a quality of life as you can, all right? It wasn't dementia that killed my mother, but she suffered from dementia. She suffered from heart issues, just from a lifetime of really having poor health. She had lupus, and she lived long for someone with lupus. But take care of yourself as much as you can. You don't know what God has in store for you, but as much as you can, try to take care of yourself and look out for the people in your life and try to, as much as you can, urge them to live as healthy a life as possible. You don't have to shame them. You don't have to fat shame people. You don't have to make them feel bad. But your health is worth looking after. Okay? Also, National Alzheimer's Day recognizes all forms of dementia. And you may not be able to avoid having someone you love very much get dementia. And therefore, you could use some resources to really help you to recognize what it is and to help you to cope. Because it's a very, very challenging thing. And all chronic illness eventually becomes extraordinarily challenging. But it is a very challenging, mentally taxing thing. And it is quite difficult to watch someone you love go through it. And then it is quite difficult for you to go through it yourself as a caregiver and someone who loves them. So take today if you can and investigate more about Alzheimer's and all forms of dementia. And you can contact the Bahamas Alzheimer's Association on Facebook to maybe get some help and some resources to help you deal with it if you're going through that with a loved one. It's nobody's fault, really. It just is what it is. And you cope with it as best you can. All right? So let's talk about some other stuff. Yeah. And if you're video streaming, like I said, you can see I got on my Bahamas Alzheimer's Association shirt. And the color's purple, which is interesting because purple is also lupus. So there's that too. All right, so let's talk about some issues. So yesterday we left off, we were talking about the Progressive Liberal Party's first year in office under the Davis administration. We're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about why is my Apple Watch now it's beeping when I have notifications. I don't know how to change it. I'm not smart enough to change it. I know how to change the screen, but I can't stop it from beeping with notifications. Maybe because I enabled the phone on the watch. You know, you could talk on your watch like a phone, right? Real Inspector Gadget stuff going down in 2022. Anyway, if you hear some pinging, I don't know how to silence the Apple Watch. And therefore, we are... You might have to hear some pinging. All right, I'll have to figure it out. Technology is not my forte. I can rebuild civilization if the zombie apocalypse happens, given the right conditions. But the Apple Watch, you know, we'll wait and see. Okay, so let's talk about some things that were going on. We were talking about yesterday about the Davis administration's first year in office. And we're going to continue talking about that, and we could talk about it in the vein of things that are still making news. We will continue talking about that, but let me just say this. So Commissioner of Police Clayton Fernander is again expressing frustration over people on bail committing crimes and questioning why they continue to be released. He said, we seek them out and put them where they belong. This was during a press conference yesterday. And he said, over the last week, police have recovered 8 guns, one of which was an AR-15 high-powered rifle. This is the story in the Nassau Guardian. Police frustration of bail releases. Jasper Ward wrote this. He said, all of these weapons now, there's a body to all of them, explaining that suspects were arrested in relation to all the weapons. Why should that individual continue to get bail? Swift justice is within 2 weeks. If he's lucky to get off, then fine, but I see no reason why we can't move swiftly with that. It's only the police and forensics. That's all. That's 2 to 3 officers. Why should we keep giving these individuals bail? You're talking about matters dragged on for 2 years and 3 years, and within that 2-3 years, that same individual committing another crime. Come on, man. Something's wrong with that. Now, there are a couple of factors going on. One is that the court system is clogged up with a lot of cases that are preventing early trial dates. As you would have noted, there was a rape case last week that just came to trial after 12 years. So that's the kind of thing that we have happening. And you have a right when you're in the Bahamas and you're accused of a crime and you're charged with a crime to apply for bail. All right? You have a right to apply for bail. We've been over this with the Bail Act, et cetera. You have a right to trial by jury. Attorney General Ryan Pinder said they're not looking at altering anything constitutionally to change that. I think that's a grave mistake. And these gun crimes, most of them are in the magistrate's court. You have a right to trial by jury if you're in the Supreme Court. Most of these are in the magistrate's court, and they have increased the number of magistrates, and we have seen some magistrates remanding people on very high-profile crimes, but the commissioners getting very frustrated that people are being released on bail. Now, Fernander's clearly trying to send a signal to the judiciary that they're granting of bail so quickly and with low conditions is causing a problem for police and a problem among society. And I don't know if this is a conversation that should be litigated through the media, although we're happy to hear the prevailing viewpoints, but his issue is with the judiciary. So his issue is with the magistrate's court that can give bail for certain offenses, and with the Supreme Court. And so I think it would behoove him to have discussions with them. As the Office of the Attorney General said, they're having discussions with the judiciary about sentencing guidelines and explain the underlying issues. So, for instance, they reported in the Tribune recently that a man got a prison sentence for stealing $6 worth of bread, which is ridiculous, right? Prison, every crime does not require a prison sentence, particularly property crimes, and then in the same court system, you had a man who pleaded guilty to beating a woman on the side of the road. We saw the video. He kicked her in her head until she was placed in hospital, and he got a fine with probation. You see? What we do have is a judiciary and a director of public prosecutions and an office of the Attorney General and a Ministry of Legal Affairs that appears to be trying to reduce backlog through a plea bargaining system that is ramped up faster than I've ever seen it ramp up. We just had a guy, he killed his girlfriend on Abaco, and that was in 2021, January 2021. And also injured her brother. He just got 20 years. So it didn't go to trial. They plea bargained down to manslaughter, and he got 20 years. And I got to tell you, you can't put a price in years on life. Me, I prefer blood, but that's just me. But for 20 years, you're saying, okay, that's enough time to say that he's being punished, okay? Now, you have a system where sometimes people are not being punished commensurate with the crime, and that is something that we have to look at. But it is something that I have seen a marked difference in since we changed administrations. This attorney general has a different approach. Now, bear in mind, the Office of the Director of Public Prosecutions is constitutionally independent. At this point, it was one of the constitutional tenets that was not entrenched and was changed during the Minnis administration. So you have an independent director of public prosecutions, which makes all the sense. Okay? What we are seeing is a disparity in sentencing, and I think that we're going to have to address that at a court level as well, because judges do enjoy a level of independence in terms of sentencing, but judges are not so, even though they have security, they're not so far removed from the Bahamas that they don't understand what's going on. You've had some very harsh, I wouldn't say harsh, but very determined rulings coming out of the Court of Appeal, particularly under Sir Michael Barnett, that are showing no tolerance. So now you're found with a gun. You're guilty, found with a gun, you go to jail. All right? There's no freedom. In Jamaica, I don't think it's been brought into force yet, but they just passed amendments to their Firearms Act. And in Jamaica, you get 15 years now for a firearm. They've just had it. All right? And Jamaica has problems that we, and not all of Jamaica even, the rural areas don't have these problems. But Jamaica has a problem even worse than ours. Right? And they are done and they are saying that they're going to put people in jail for 15 years. And they're saying even 1 year doesn't make sense to them. They want to put criminals away for a long time for gun possession. Now, you balance that out with that debate about, and you can get a pistol in Jamaica, right? It's more stringent than owning a shotgun or a rifle, but it's much less, it's much harder to get one here than it would be in Jamaica, all right? But we have a problem with guns, and what I don't hear anybody addressing, people are getting robbed, people are getting shot, people are getting everything stolen from them. You're saying that there's only so many police to handle the criminals. What I don't hear anybody addressing is allowing Bahamians to own handguns legally with fewer restrictions. And I heard the Bahamas Firearms Association advocating for that, and that makes all the sense to me. Mind you, I think you should go to mandatory firearms training if you have a handgun or a rifle. So I've done a few training exercises with police. There were no certifications involved, but they teach you how to properly handle your firearm. I took my wife to one of them, the first time she ever shot a gun. All right, so that you can try to, if necessary, protect your life and property, although they're for hunting reasons. But we're not all naive out here. All right, and I think that Bahamians legally owning handguns would provide an extra layer of protection. All right, now there is always the argument that where the kids get their hands on the gun, et cetera, we already have very strict rules on how we keep firearms. You have to get licensed by the police. The police have to do an inspection of your home. You have to buy a safe. They have to understand the location of the safe, et cetera. And does that mean the system is perfect? No, of course not. There are many thousands of guns that the police lose track of. But I think helping law-abiding citizens have that extra level of protection would go a long way, and that's a conversation we need to have. Of course, that would proper training, etc. Not just everybody go, not like in the States, you just go pick up a gun, you go buy a gun, go to the gun show, and let's go. You go to war after that. All right, so Fernando, I like that he's speaking out about it, and he's kind of forcing this conversation into the forefront. And he's saying, don't give him bail and wait longer. You're going to need stuff for that. You're going to need a gun court. You're going to need to make sure that you are bringing these cases to court quickly. And we're going from there. But I'm with him. I'm fed up about these guys being stopped over and over and over, being released over and over and over, and committing more and more crimes. And then we live in dreamland like, well, it's a systemic economic problem. They're career criminals. That's what they're into, right? And jobs would help, but you got to be reconditioned before you're going to go on the workplace. You ain't going to run around robbing people and then go, oh, it's time to get up and someone offered me a job. Let me just go ahead and clock in now. It says, hey, one, swipe up from the bottom of the screen on your watch. You'll see a few icons. Press the bell icon in the second row, second column. The notification should just be silenced to a vibration. Swipe up from the bottom of your screen on the watch. I'm doing that. Bottom of the screen. While the clock face is on, or do I need to push the button? No? I don't know what's happening. Oh, okay. Turn digital crown. What? I'll try that during the break. Thanks for the advice. I don't know what's happening now. Something weird's going on now. Now it's got like a water notification and it's not wet. Turn digital crown to unlock and eject water. I don't know what's happening. Oh. That didn't work. Oh, here we go. A bell. Oh, okay. I think that worked. Thank you. Thank you very much. Says, because of our extremely sick population of hypertension, diabetes, and heart disease, we want Brave and the PLP to ban American fast food from our lands. The This would not only save lives, but also save $300 to $400 million in healthcare costs. I hear you. I don't know that that's going to do it. We have a pretty poor native diet without fast food, although I'm certainly a fan of eating fast food in moderation. You know, some people eat fast food every day. I used to be that way. Years ago, I can't understand why I was doing that. Juan, I'm so glad the new commissioner is doing this. It's about time someone called out our judicial system and court system. Juan, just remember that when she was AG, Allison Maynard said that many criminals go judge shopping to get better sentences. That story was published in The Guardian years ago. We have a judge/court problem. I'm going to not comment on that part of it because I have some thoughts of my own on that, but I'm going to leave that alone for today. But suffice it to say, I think that judges do need to look at the history of the person who's being charged before them, and the prosecution needs to bring that to the judge and make better determinations about who gets out. And they're doing a new medium security unit at the prison. They're going to get rid of slopping, so they say. So it won't be such inhumane conditions at the prison. Bro, can this lousy government do something about all these stray dogs and rodents and vagrants at food stores and at traffic lights? And also, there are a lot of pit bulls around and they're loose in the street. Okay, so let's compartmentalize that. Let's separate out rodents and then dogs and then vagrants. So in the hierarchy of things that we want to be extra careful about, rodents would be at the bottom, then dogs, and then vagrants. People are more important than dogs. Yes, we can have consensus on that, perhaps. All right. So the rodents need to be eliminated with extreme prejudice. The dogs need to be captured, spayed, or whatever, neutered. And there seem to be a lot of people in America who are looking for Bahamian potcakes. So let's ship them out. We clearly don't want them. And the vagrants need real help. All right, the pit bulls running around loose on the streets. If they're wild, we're gonna euthanize them. Okay, so I'm with you. Let's rodents, then dogs, then vagrants. Vagrants need extra special care and attention. They have a myriad problems, and we got to try to help them as best we can, or they just need to be put a place where they can be looked after and not be a danger to themselves and the community. Okay. Von Miller, and I'll talk about the first year. Anyway, let me leave Von Miller alone. Well, no. Von Miller was very passionate about vector control during his budget speech. I didn't really hear anything material about oil drilling or climate change or protecting our oceans and recent, but very passionate. I may have missed it. Very passionate about vector control, right? Mosquitoes and rodents. He said he had something special in store. Now would be a time to kick in. You know, it's been a few months since the budget was approved. That money's probably there now. I would like to see some action on the rodents. On the dogs, that's a different level of issue. The vagrants, a whole different level. But I'm with you. Says, we do have a judge problem. Clear example is the judge who refuses to rule on the Abaco shanty town issue simply refuses. I mean, I've said this numerous times, and I don't feel any weight about it. That ruling's taking a long time, all right, with Cheryl Grant Thompson. And I don't say that out of like, oh, why she can't get it done. It's been 4 years since that action started. It's been more than a year. August made a year. Was it August or July? August made a year. Since the last hearing was adjourned to issue a final ruling. Okay? The Davis administration has been in for more than a year now, and no ruling has come forward. And it is taking too long. And everybody's not going to like that. Judge might call me, but that's my considered layman's opinion. I don't see these decisions like this taking that long. Not under judicial review. There's not after you say, here's the final hearing and I'm going to issue my ruling. So I'm waiting for it. Maybe it'll be a doozy. It says, Juan, the PLP continues to run a finely oiled PR machine campaign instead of governing. The people thank the FNM for leaving the country in a position.
Oh, Lord, the people thank the FNM for leaving the country in a position wherein the people does not have to do much at this point beside ride the wave already set in motion by the Minutes administration, whom they demonize and continue to demonize. Well, I'll say this. Governments are continuous, and I wouldn't say nothing got done during the Minutes administration at all. All right? I would say that I also would challenge that you say the PLP is not governing, although there hasn't been the strongest legislative agenda. All right. You got to take a break? Let's take a break. All right. We're going to be back after this short break.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, we've been on the scene, protecting since 1919. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the best. Always, you're always covered me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them 242-356-0249.
Remember when Zoom was just a sound effect? When your living room wasn't your gym? When a cough didn't scare people away? That was the good old days. And thankfully, they are coming back. As things return to normal, remember it is essential to be fully immunized against all vaccine-preventable diseases like COVID-19, diphtheria, tetanus, measles, and influenza. This message is brought to you by PAHO WHO, the Ministry of Health and Wellness, the Caribbean Development Bank, the Government of Canada, and the United States of America.
The Water and Sewage Corporation will be hosting the 31st Annual Caribbean Water and Wastewater Association Conference under the theme Recovery and Evolution: Regional Actions for Global Sustainability in Water and Waste Sectors. This will be held October 17th through 21st, 2022 at the Atlantis Resort, Paradise Island. To register, visit the conference website at cwwa.net/cwwa-conference-2022.
Hey, Bill, glad to see you back in the office.
Who?
Bill.
Oh, sorry, yeah, I think you're mistaking me for someone else.
Tom.
Nope.
Jack.
No.
Alex.
No. Want me to just tell you?
Nope, I got this, George.
No, you don't. Still not me.
Adam.
Not even close, man.
We're like a coworker that didn't forget your name. CG Atlantic Agents and Brokers. Good like that.
Okay, good to see you, Mark Mike Johnson.
It's Mordecai.
At Popeyes, we foster love in everything we do. And our signature sandwiches are no different. Stop on by and try our all-new Buffalo Ranch Chicken Sandwich. We have taken the chicken sandwich and kicked it up a notch. Taste our Louisiana Cajun seasoned chicken patty, served on a brioche bun with two pickles and drizzled with our all-new Buffalo Ranch sauce. Add a chocolate chip cookie on your order for only 90 cents. Stop by any Popeyes for your Buffalo Ranch chicken sandwich today.
Love that chicken from Popeyes.
You do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance Agents and Brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
I used to think of the bank as my personal ATM machine. If I wanted a new car, new furniture, a weekend trip to Miami, no problem, just max out the credit card or top up my loan. I was a big baller. until I realized that 75% of my salary was going to pay back all those loans. Fidelity's personal financial coaching was the best solution. Fidelity gave me a plan with a debt consolidation loan that has a built-in savings that pays 5% interest. I now only have one low monthly payment, plus money in my pocket. Give Fidelity Bank a call at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit any of Fidelity's locations or visit a website at fidelitygroup.com.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm Warren McCartney, you're tuned to the revolution. We're going to talk about Davis administration first year in office, but this is related because Fernandez is a new commissioner, but he just recently came on board. So, Fernandez said Bainetown remains a hot spot. He said Kemp Road is another area of concern. He said three of the eight guns recovered recently were recovered in Kemp Road. Fernandez also highlighted Nassau Village, Pinewood Gardens, and Yellow Elder. But he said Yellow Elder and other parts of Mount Moriah have experienced a decline in crime. Fernandez said, we're not going to let our guns down because it's quiet. This is quiet? And I said police will remain visible and will continue aggressive stop and searches because some individuals move around the province with illegal guns in their vehicle. And the thing about it, right? If you a criminal, you gotta exercise some sense with it. Well, I don't know how being a criminal make any sense, but if you a criminal, you gotta exercise some sense with it. So you can ride around dirty, right, with a legal firearm and don't license your car. The headlight and what you can't see through the tent, the marijuana leaf hanging off the rearview mirror, the lights purple out. You know what I mean? And when the police stop you, you're profiling me. Your car ain't registered. That's why I ride around clean. Everything paid up, everything licensed. I don't want no trouble. And they still stop me. And he'd be like, okay, you go. Everything looks fine. Okay. That's Fernander. Let me do some text messages and we move on. Says, one thing is becoming clear. This New Day government prime minister will say anything at any given time to attempt to remain favorable, even if it means constantly contradicting himself. Yeah, I don't know. Like, I understand you may not like the PLP and Brave Davis, but I gotta say, and this is the next thing I wanted to get to. I gotta say, at least he's gaining some traction. So look at this. At least he picked something and he went after it. So you could have said Minnis picked corruption and went after it. And, you know, was he successful in that at all? Probably not. But let me explain something to you. And I'm not Brave Davis's PR guy, and he probably should have better PR people. No offense, guys. Y'all just... Anyway, so Brave Davis yesterday was at a New York Times Climate Week forum, which had many, many heavy hitters around the world, and he was on a panel with the managing director of the International Monetary Fund and the president of the World Bank, Kristalina Georgieva. I'm not from, where's she from? She's from the Eastern Bloc somewhere. I'm not from there. That's the best I can do. Kristalina Georgieva, who's the IMF managing director, and David Malpass, who's the World Bank president. Now, David Malpass, if you listen to that panel, and you can watch it on the OPM page, David Malpass is reluctant to even admit climate change is a thing, right? It's the president of the World Bank. I'm not going to diss the World Bank, even though some of their stuff is questionable with these developing nations, but he's not really interested, it seems, in seriously tackling climate change. Now, the Bahamas does not qualify for loans from the World Bank, although we did qualify for a loan, an emergency loan, at the height of the pandemic from the World Bank, which they were happy to lend to us because it's debt. They're going to get the money back. The International Monetary Fund, prior to 2020, we did not owe the IMF a dollar. The pandemic also saw us take advantage of special drawing rights the IMF made available for resources in the pandemic. And if you listen to Kristalina Georgieva, and I'm not hating on David Malpass, he just... If you had, like, a caricature of a banker who is obtuse to anything other than profit, it would be him. Like, you know, remember Mr. Burns from The Simpsons? In that vein, right? Where I don't mean to knock you, man. I don't know you. I'd love to interview you sometime. But Georgieva, and we'll talk about this on the other side, Georgieva is very sensitive to climate change. And here's what happened. And listen, I don't care what you say. And you could talk to, go ask Lang if you don't believe me. When you're sitting next to the director of the IMF, the managing director of the IMF, all right, that has access to $1 trillion, and literally $1 trillion, and your signature issue has been climate change for the past year. You've been going around the global stump saying we want to introduce carbon credits. The Bahamas is a carbon sink. We want to start trading in carbon credits. And to the World Bank's credit, they introduced the issue of carbon credits, but it never went anywhere like that with them. If that's been your signature issue, and you get in front of the managing director, and you get next to the managing director of the World Bank, and the managing director of the World Bank says to you, and I'm going to quote this, and we may run a bit over into the news, but this is what she said. And you go hang your hat on this Brave Davis, because I've never heard anyone who runs a major international financial institution, lending institution, say this. She turned to Prime Minister Philip Davis and said, let's take your example. She's talking to Brave Davis. Let's take your example. You suck in carbon. Why not provide to your creditors not money, but carbon credits that have monetary equivalents. Is that possible? Yes, it's possible. It is hard, but it's possible. And the bank and fund, we've been thinking how to create key performance indicators that would allow a country to swap its debt for climate investments and climate resilience or in a mitigation program. It's important that you guys keep pressuring us to find the solution. It's not easy. The World Bank invented carbon trading when the world didn't yet have the Kyoto Protocol. Now, again, you ask somebody else. Don't ask me. All right? Because I ain't nobody. Go ask Lang, who's been around World Economic Forums. Go ask John Roll, who's the governor of the Central Bank. Okay? Go ask James Smith. Go ask former financial secretaries, etc. It is significant when the IMF managing director is saying to the Prime Minister of the Bahamas, keep pressuring us to find a solution so that you can trade carbon credits for debt. All right? That is a serious win for Brave Davis. All right? That, me, I tell you. Okay? If they can get the bank, the IMF, to create a standard where countries are swapping debt for climate investments, that could mean a whole lot of flexibility. That could be a game changer. Because we're not in any IMF mitigation program, but if you end up in a mitigation program, you're able to swap carbon credits for debt, out for debt, you could have a much, 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 much smoother ride. So that's not finality, but just that there, that you get her on the stage to say that, that's a win for Brave Davis, who's been campaigning, I think, maybe a little too extravagantly on this issue, but it's a win for Brave Davis. And if she's saying, keep pressuring us, and Brave Davis is organizing a conference so the Caribbean leaders, even though they all didn't come, are aligned ahead of COP27 in Egypt in November, which, Brave, don't take 100 people, okay? Just 10 would suffice. If she's saying that, then that's a signal that Caribbean people need to get together more and continue to raise our voices to put this pressure on, just like Mia Motley with the de-risking. So while you may not have a great deal of regard for Brave Davis, you can't take that away from him. All right? Let's go to a break, and we'll be right back.
Why you look so mashed up, like clothes at the washer?
No, boy. Just a hard day at work.
Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking about everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Boy, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave us, boy, one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody's saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet his boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you. And your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
As we get older, our bodies change naturally, but the risk of cancer increases with age too. So if you notice any unexplained changes to your body, such as lumps or bleeding, your doctor wants to see you. The earlier you find cancer, the easier it is to treat. And twice as many people in the Bahamas now survive cancer compared to 40 years ago. It could be nothing, but you won't know until you check it out. Be cancer aware. Get checked early. If you wish to place an ad or have information that can assist in highlighting the importance of more awareness during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, contact the Nassau Guardian at 302-2300. That's 302-2300.
Hello!
Massage are back again at Margaritaville,
downtown Nassau,
for the fourth installment of Fish Fry Friday. With music by DJ AI and Massage.
It's the party everyone's talking about.
Friday, September 30th. Party kicks off at 6:30 p.m. at the 12-volt bar, Margaritaville, downtown Nassau. $25 cover charge with one free drink with entry. And experience the Fish Fry Friday buffet at the Vacation Cafe before the event for only $55 and enjoy complimentary party access. Park safe and secure for only $10 all night.
Parking ticket to be validated at entry.
It's the big
biggest and best party the last Friday of every month. So don't miss it this month, Friday, September 30th. Fish Fry Fridays.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio. We're talking a few things. We're talking the police commissioner's frustration with people being released on bail. I really don't know what he can do about it. Well, other than police prosecutions making the case for no bail at these arraignments. But, you know, we'll see. All right, and so I just talked about what the IMF managing director said. So that's an awesome thing. But she also said that, you know, even these emerging markets, such as ours, we have to introduce carbon tax, et cetera, look toward emissions. And so the Bahamas really has to make a case to say that, well, we've been doing all that we can. Okay? So we've solarized all these islands and we're no longer involved in transshipment of fuel to our family of islands. And we have one remaining legacy power plant that services the majority of the population that's on New Providence, or power plants. And we got to try to shift away from diesel and heavy fuel oil. And, I mean, we like to say LNG like it's, oh, LNG, it's clean, right? The children can inhale it. It's still fossil fuel, all right? It's still fossil fuel. It's still bad for the environment. Now, do I have the answer? Do I have the design to the perpetual motion machine that they gave Jodie Foster when she went through the spinning rings and contact? No, I don't know. All right? But I think we can make a case to say we're doing as much as we can here. Keep in mind we're a developing country. Implement these carbon taxes or whatever like that. Get down emissions. Tie countries to reduced emissions through our carbon credit trading program and make the case that we're doing the best we can. All right. Are we doing the best we can now? No. I don't think so. Not by a long shot. But it's difficult to go to the... Even though you know no matter how much fuel we burn, we're not going to begin to contribute to climate change, man-made climate change in any significant amount ever. But even though we won't, you still got to try to set the example, right? So that's what I would do. I would start there. But good on Brave Davis for getting the IMF managing director to make those sorts of statements. You know, a lot of people say a lot of things, so we'll see. But I think that it's a positive development, I would say, because we tend to gloss over these things. And again, I'll state for the record, I'm not above what's petty. I'm not, right? I'm all into the palace intrigue. Who's doing what behind the scenes? Who fought who? Right? I'm into it. I'm not gonna sit here and fake it. But at the same time, these concerns dealing with our debt, etc., they govern so much of our daily lives. and on our development as a country that we already have issues with, that we have to pay attention to these things. All right? So it's been a long road. You travel plenty, Brave, but that's not bad. I'll tell you that. All right? I don't know if everybody got to keep going with you, but that's not bad. All right. But hold on one, just last year when Lincoln Bain, I tell you what, Lincoln has a live, and you can go in there and interact with him all you want. I'm not into discussing what he's talking about. But thanks, though. But just so you aware, I know you want me to be on your run, but I'm not. Says, good afternoon, McCartney. Did the commissioner mention Pinewood Gardens? Yes, he did. He said, Mr. Brave Davis is doing an excellent job for the short time of 1 year the PLP has been in office. I wonder what state the Bahamas, the Bahamian people would be in had the former administration gotten back in. People need to wake up and come up with the suggestions and solutions to make our beautiful little country stand out, or I should say, better than the rest. Yeah. And I mean by no means would I sit here and go, oh, the former administration was terrible. Terrible in many respects, yes, but nothing got done. I would never say that. That would be disingenuous. Like, the organs of state still function. I wildly disagree with the handling of the pandemic, but that's just me. It says, I don't think the commissioner should name an entire community as a hotspot. For instance, Nassau Village. Do you know how expansive Nassau Village is? Boy, he said Nassau Village and Pinewood Gardens. That's a lot. And not everybody or every household in Nassau Village is criminal-minded or engaged in crime, which is implied by the commissioner's statement. There are some honest, upright citizens living in these communities that just want a good quality of life and detest criminal activity. I think the commissioner should be more specific with the areas within those communities that are hotspots and not paint the entire community as criminally minded. Well, here's my thing. How specific could he possibly be without offending anyone who's not involved in crime? Like, without going... House number 14 on Bougainvillea Boulevard is a lot of crimes going on around there. Like, if you name a street, people are going to be mad. If you name a particular portion of an area, people are still going to say, well, not me. I don't think that's his intent. I do get what you're saying, but I think his intent is to say, we devote extra resources to these areas because people are telling us that these were crimes are being reported. All right? And the fact that crimes are being reported there also speaks to the fact that there are many law-abiding citizens who are the targets of criminals in those areas. It says, we are so hypocritical. You had persons like Graham and C. Allen talking about these things, carbon credits, etc., and now politicians using it as if they came up with it and probably don't understand the half of it but would never acknowledge, or even our natural resources that persons continue to talk about. The FNM started with the stronger environmental laws. I mean, the FNM started with the stronger environmental laws. I don't know. Well, see, the thing is this. Actually, the government, the FNM did pass strong environmental laws, amend environmental laws last term. But the thing is this. The notion, and the PLP does this too, right? The notion that you really started something and it was all your bright idea and everyone's just following fashion after you, is disingenuous if you understand how government works. Now, there are some things like that, yes. But so the PLP has a video going around about, oh, our investment in food security, right? So what do you, I don't know what you're talking about, okay? But so to suggest that you've made some marked difference in investment in food security would be to suggest that others have done far, far less or not focused on it at all. Every single administration in my lifetime has focused on agriculture and, in fact, thrown good money after bad doing so on so many failed things. Bartad, right? Subsidies for businesses that would eventually go out of business anyway. I'm not saying that's really throwing bad money after bad. In terms of embargoing certain products so that the Bahamian business could start to flourish and pick up, in terms of speaking about heads of agreement should include tenants that say you have to source so much of your food locally. So by no means did Brave Davis come up with carbon credits at all. The carbon credit market is sloppy and large and extremely poorly regulated. But I think it doesn't make any sense to go, well, it's the FNM who started with environmental laws. This has been his signature issue. He's gotten flack about it. All right? Boy, y'all people in the Guardian, weird kink. Man, stop texting me. I don't want to talk to you. You don't have that in your life? People don't want to talk to you? They don't want to hear all that? People don't tell you that? I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear what you're talking about. And no matter your insult, it don't matter to me. Like, take it to Facebook. All right? That ain't for me to do. How you feel about it is your feelings to deal with. And how you feel about me is your feeling to deal with. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about that. All right? And you claim you're a young listener, so let me give you some advice in your young life. Not everybody's going to be on your run. All right? Go find people on your run and go be on that run. But don't get mad at people when they ain't on your run. And your run, what you talking about with all that going on Facebook, I ain't on it. And you could be as disappointed as you want. Hopefully you live long enough to understand it. You're going to have to accept that people don't always be on your run. And you insulting them, you calling them names, that's not going to cow anyone into changing their mind. They're just not going to fool with you, like me. All right? Take it to Facebook, yo. Go on. Y'all got a lot of leeway over there. This is so, boy, it's a long one, Jesus Christ. I don't know if I could read all this. So, Juan McCartney, I'm not sure you're aware, and you may not be, but it appears you're quickly losing credibility among your listening audience and possibly general public because of your dislike and apparent obsession of former Prime Minister and former FNM leader, Dr. Hubert Minnis. Oh, Jesus, well. I'm losing credibility? Minnis, who had the lowest voter turnout in Bahamian history? Since 1962? That Minnis, the lowest percentage of voters turnout in Bahamian history? I'm losing credibility over Minnis. Minnis, who had 35 seats in the House of Assembly during the last administration? And now the FNM holds 7? That Minnis? Who for the first time in history won all these black belt areas combined and then lost them? That one? I'm losing credibility. There's a large majority of the population out there that has a great deal of confidence and clarity and support in the former administration's governance. I'm losing credibility? Or did he lose credibility? Did the FNM lose a great deal of credibility and support? Which one is it? I'm losing credibility. Well, then my credibility will just have to suffer. I'm not gonna... I'm not gonna cover up the... What are y'all doing? How much is this... why? Ali, why, bro? Is it time on their hands? Like, why me and you here talking about the general public believes he did such a great job and wouldn't even come out to vote? Why are we lying to ourselves? Because we want to cling to some slim hope that he's going to reemerge as leader of the FNM? Maybe he will. More power to him. All right? I'm going to continue to talk about how bad a prime minister I thought he was. I contend he was the worst prime minister we ever had. Y'all still talking about Pinland? This man been dead over 20 years. I can't talk about a dude who was just in power last year. What are we talking about? Are we all are we passing around a crack pipe? What flavor crack are we smoking today, Arlie? Captain Crunch? What are we doing? Who are these people? Y'all are on y'all run that the majority of people ain't on and want to attack me like I'm supposed to get back on your run? Come on, man. Just stop. It says the violence interrupters need to start interrupting. I can't talk about Menace, who was just in power last year. Y'all still talking about the UBP. And the fella messed me down today. The UBP need to come back. The UBP, bro. Okay? I can't talk about Menace. You got to be crazy. It says rolling on the floor, credibility and Menace in the same sentence. Day two in the upside down where you shake these people out front. I don't know. I don't know. Y'all gonna have to accept reality. Everybody ain't on y'all run. I learned that at a young age. Everybody that you on Lincoln run, go get on Lincoln run. Don't expect me to be on his run. I'm not. He ain't on mine. Do your thing. Everybody ain't gonna be on each other run. Hence why we have different political parties, different religions, different denominations, different schools. All right? You ain't gonna soft press me into being on what you want. Go be on what you want. That's all. And we gonna all keep it moving. This is great show as usual. We have dumb criminals. I miss the 1990s. They were smarter criminals in the 90s? Or is it just a little safer in the 90s? It says, that texter has a point. Ban pit bulls. There are vagabonds, it seems, everywhere. And coming back from one of my many vacations, I saw two big rats by the domestic section of the airport. Right there in the open at the airport. Rats at the airport? Boy, that ain't sustainable. Says Juan, you can't say smoking crack on the radio, no. But black Bahamians are the worst on the planet. That's not a nice thing to say at all. We have it better than a lot of other nations, but we choose to just keep each other down. Learn Mandarin. At least you can learn how to make something and sell on Alibaba. I mean, I'm going to support the majority of Bahamian people who I believe are sensible people. All right? And as far as you're talking about Menace, the majority of sensible people at the polls voted Menace in with an overwhelming majority, near historic, as far as I'm aware, and ushered him out, all right, through either protest by not voting or simply voting against him, okay?
Here's what I found.
What did you find, Siri? Okay. But we're not going to sit here and pretend. I'm not. It's the guy again. It's youth talking. I can leave you, man, because you young. All right? You young, and one day the world can start to make some sense, and you're going to understand that broader perspectives are often needed. All right? And that you maybe weren't looking at all the angles. And that's all good. And when you get to that point, if you get to that point in your life, holler back at me. But at this moment in time, you're going to have to take that journey with those people without me. All right? Whatever you think of me, that's fine. Because I'll be real with you. It don't impact me in any material way. But my advice to you is go seek that out, but also seek to understand the broader picture that I'm trying to communicate to people. And when you start getting some understanding of it, then you come back and talk to me, all right? And we'll go from there. Meantime, the Facebook live chat, that's probably your lane you should be in. Mr. Mack, traffic cops really need to be around the schools. Man, these people speed in school zones, park in the streets. Before someone gets in trouble, please talk about this, sir. Yeah, they really need more cops around. I saw cops today. I was going through, what's the name of that corner off Mackey Street where bomb is welding and fire is? Says, one, I don't think that's a good idea. Our people already have bad conflict resolution skills. Just imagine a car accident with firearms involved. Listen. I've never had a car accident with any sensible person on this island where anyone went to try to fight me, right? Or I tried to fight them. Not with no sensible person. Is a car accident a very frustrating experience, particularly if your children are involved? And sometimes tempers flare, yes. But the majority of people ain't trying to attack you. They ain't trying to fight nowhere, right? The vast majority of people. But we have a lot of people who don't have sense, and we got to watch out for them. But I hear you, all right? I hear you. This dude's still texting me, you know. God bless you, man. One day, you go seek me out. You like McCartney? You was right. The world is more complicated and nuanced than I understood. And sometimes that comes quickly to us. And other times we gotta have kind of experiences with people, right? With causes, with those who say they're about a particular thing or gonna do a particular thing and live through that to understand that it ain't all cut and dried like that. And that when everybody pipe up about something, they're not really about that all the time. All right? But it's gonna take experience together because the naivety of youth allows you to make those mistakes and hand over trust to people who really haven't earned it. So go ahead and do you, but you ain't gonna call me about what's wrong with me and what you think about me, because we just wasting time at this point. Let's go to a break and we'll be right back.
Do coffee your way.
Double shot, decaf, cappuccino.
Light roast, Colombian, no milk.
You do vacations your way.
Hiking boots, tent, mountains.
Five-star hotels and theater.
And now you can do insurance your way.
Online.
Email.
Chat.
WhatsApp.
Or in branch. For home, car, travel, boat, or business insurance, do it anyway with NUA Insurance agents and brokers. Visit NUAinsurance.com, call, or stop by a branch today.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Buying a home is one of the most important investment decisions you'll ever make, so it's best to insure your home for the full replacement value. If your home is underinsured, the condition of average could apply and reduce the amount you'll receive if you make a claim. Ask your insurance agent about underinsurance and condition of average before you purchase or renew your home insurance policy. For more information, visit www.icb.gov.bs. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
We'll be right back.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolutionary Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. Good to have you with us. All right. So yesterday we talked about the first year of the Davis administration in terms of the response to the pandemic. Has it been satisfactory? There have been some serious swings and misses, but so far I'm satisfied, right? It's just markedly different from what we had before. And I think they've kept pace for them. They've kept pace pretty well with how the rest of the world's switching up things. I don't understand the mask mandate. Nobody's yet to come explain it to me at all in terms of it making sense at this point. But that's where we are. So let's talk about the second part, or one of the second most important things that the Progressive Liberal Party likes to tout about its first year in office, which is the economy. So I don't know that I give the Progressive Liberal Party credit for the overall recovery of the economy. Even though they govern differently with the pandemic, I think that the economy naturally was going to recover significantly. Now, here's what I'll say. There's a lot to be said about how the major players in the economy and the major factors of the economy operate, given who's in power. And this is something I learned from Gawam Bo, right? Because I'm not behind closed doors when these conversations are happening. So, for instance, the Progressive Liberal Party, before the last budget, held a meeting with economic stakeholders in the economy. People who own food stores, construction companies, brokerage firms, et cetera. People who have clients who want to invest money, banks. People who have clients who want to invest money, or people who have money to invest. And that meeting was held behind closed doors. The Prime Minister was at the meeting, Philip Davis. The Minister of Economic Affairs, Michael Alkeidis, was at that meeting. The Minister of Tourism and the Deputy Prime Minister, Chester Cooper, was at that meeting. Simon Wilson, I am told, was at that meeting, the Financial Secretary. Okay? There were a few other people. But the thrust of that meeting was to give confidence that the government was going to take a stable approach to economic recovery, that they weren't mindful to facilitate any shocks that it might cause, such as added restrictions, XYZ, added taxes, all right? And that not only would now be a good time to invest in government bonds, because we foresee government revenue going this way, because we foresee this happening with investments and the economy growing at this rate, and our debt levels being able to be properly taken care of so that there's a real chance of getting that investment back on government bonds, right? So all of that, including that they believe that the public now has greater confidence because of how they've dealt with the pandemic and how they've dealt with listening to stakeholders in terms of loosening restrictions that are a hindrance to further economic growth, all right? So to the extent that the Progressive Liberal Party has done that, they facilitated the rebound in the economy, which would have naturally happened because global travel picked back up. All right. Now, I was having this conversation with somebody the other day, and they were arguing whether the PLP had anything to do with the cruise ships. And my argument was that it's hard to tell because cruise ships didn't resume sailing until July 21 like that. And then it was very limited, all right? And therefore, the cruise ship thing is difficult to gauge because it would have naturally increased. But the government did respond to the cruise ships, not to say that the misadministration wouldn't have a request for ease of travel. The government did things like eliminate the travel visa for Bahamians and not too long ago eliminated the travel visa for international travelers. They still have some restrictions in place that the tourism associations have complained about, and they have a problem with that. So I think that they're handling the economy has been okay, but here's the facts. They've talked about $3 billion in investment. I don't see it. Maybe you do. You could point it out to me in the last year. And if $3 billion in investment has been approved, you got to kind of show me where that's ramping up. The fact of the matter is that the Melia remains closed. That's hundreds of rooms, even though they say they're renovating. The beach towers on Atlantis remains closed. And we have hoteliers who are still reluctant to open up because they're not sure that the business is there. So there was a story the other day where Chester Cooper is saying he's going to go talk to the hotels about opening up more rooms. So I'll say this. You ain't got to go tell no hotel to open up more rooms. They're going to open up the rooms. All right? Still the Grand Lucayan, those places aren't, a lot of places were in disrepair, they aren't prepared. You don't have to go tell no hotel to open up no rooms. Okay? Period. Right? If they're in the hotel business and they have the traffic, they have the heads, they're going to open up beds. And they'll build beds. All right? You don't got to convince them of nothing. They know what their numbers look like. They're more likely to tell you what you can do as government to help them get business up. All right? So the fact of the matter is that there are thousands of people who were in the hotel industry who still are not back. And so we're nowhere close, I think, to where we want to be. Now, the government has, even though it lowered VAT across the board, but put VAT on breadbasket items, the government has had a roaring, robust return of revenue to the government. All right? But the fact of the matter is, we are nowhere near a comfortable position. And I would have given the PLP bad marks in terms of the messaging it telegraphs to the public, particularly the public sector, in touting so much success and acting as if we're in this environment of plenty when we're not. However, I do give credit to Minister of Economic Affairs Michael Halkidis for saying that, look, revenue collection and all this aside, we're nowhere near we want to be. We have well over $10 billion in debt outstanding. We have a lot of stuff that's coming up and a lot of pressure on us. And now isn't a time to do a celebration. Now is a time to make sure that we're guarding our revenue, focusing on bringing down our debt, and making sure we do everything we can to get the economy going while watching spending. And the problem you have when you telegraph this atmosphere of abundance is that nurses union is paying attention. All right, oh, I see. Y'all build a new hospital. Pray tell, who's going to work in this hospital? Teachers unions go, oh, I see, y'all are building new schools. Okay, so who's gonna run these schools, right? You're talking about growth in these areas when we haven't had a contract signed in 4 or 5 years. We are facing competition from the United States and Canada in terms of healthcare professionals, in terms of teachers. We're not satisfied with where we are now, all right? But people getting new cars, y'all spending money on new buildings. Right? When you project this atmosphere of plenty and there's more than enough to go around, you start to get yourself in problems because the demands start rising. And so I don't think the Progressive Liberal Party has done a good job on projecting an atmosphere of austerity. All right. Now, I don't mean that to say freeze hiring in XYZ. I mean to say that you should always be mindful that we've got to be mindful of the fact that we're not out of the woods. Now, what Halkita said flies in contradiction to the position of the Davis administration in terms of what's going on with the National Insurance Board and in terms of what's going on with BPL. So while I'm appreciative that as hot a summer as it's been, our light bills have remained, our fuel charges remain consistent at 10.5 cents, I am concerned about what the other side of that looks like, all right? Because BPL still is not in a position to pay, to service its own debt and to pay all of its own bills without government assistance, all right? So on the other side of what that looks like, I'm not sure. We've had the new CEO of BPL talk about they're going to make a decision, but I believe government pressure has been to say don't, not yet, all right? And also, the National Insurance Board is facing a catastrophe in a few years, and while I am grateful that they haven't had rates rise yet, the general messaging from everyone outside of Miles LaRota has been like, the PM said don't worry about it right now. All right, and I think it's something to worry about right now. At least figure the plan out now. And you can implement it when you a little later. I would have said January 1, but I need to understand that there's a plan going on now. All right? Now, I think that while the economy would have gotten back to a better place, without any direct spurring on by the Davis administration, I think they do, behind closed doors at least, look at things in a realistic way, all right, and understand that you can do everything for everyone. Now, when you go say, we go spend $30 million on a baseball to go finish a baseball stadium that $27 million was already spent on, we start getting into problems, right? So what I, overall on the economy, I'd give the PLP above average marks, but I haven't seen anything extraordinary. And that's just my honest take, right? So I haven't seen initiatives that have gone, boom, look at the economy go because the PLP did X, Y, Z. I haven't. And maybe I'm forgetting something. To me, I haven't. All right. Sometimes, and if I give the PLP above average marks, because sometimes the best thing a government can do is get out of the way. All right. Don't stand in the way. So if you're a government and you're hindering progress, you're hindering economic growth, sometimes the best thing you could do is just let the people who are best at it take care of it. And that's something I've seen them doing more with the hotel industry. Minister to his credit, they did it with the port, Nassau Cruise Port. Sometimes you just get out of the way and let the people who are professionals at this like take care of it. In certain instances with BPL, National Insurance, you cannot get out of the way. Those are government institutions. All right. We got a call? Sure. All right. We're talking about the PLP's performance. They were fortuitous to come in at a time when there was an economic rebound, but I think some of the things they did helped. All right. So I'm not going to sit here and go, ending the emergency orders didn't provide confidence in businesses to keep longer operating hours. Therefore, increasing shifts, people could work. Therefore, people feeling more comfortable going out in a COVID-19 environment. And I think this is related to the economy as well. The level of steadfastness that they seem to display as the Omicron variant exploded earlier in the year also, I think, provided some confidence. All right. But in terms of huge things the PLP has done and it's made this radical change in the economy, I don't see it. I think there are some things they've done with government finances that we could talk about that I think made sense. But in terms of this administration just being the driver of our economic rebound, I don't put that in their column like that. All right? They're in the driver's seat for certain, but just by virtue of them not doing certain things probably would have helped the economy. But as far as they've had all these ideas that have brought about economic revitalization, et cetera, I don't see that. I don't see the billions in investment. I know these things take time. To me, it hasn't been some magical period of prosperity that I look at the PLP as kind of overseeing. All right? Not in the van. And sometimes it takes an entire administration. I know, I'll take the phone call. Sometimes it takes an entire administration to see it. So if you look at Ingram in 92 to 97, you could look at the growth, you could look at everything, perfect by no means, but you could look at it and you could go, this is a marked difference. Like the difference between when they started to the end of this term, it's not only can you see it and touch it and track it, but you feel different. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. And I don't know that you feel that way about this administration.
Hey, Vaughn, what's up, brother?
Hey, I'm good, man. How's it going?
I am great, man.
All right.
So, they asked me yesterday, how do I grade the government that I support? I can be honest. You see, I will give my government an A minus or B plus.
Okay.
Because, you know, for someone to call a talk show, doesn't matter if you support the government. To give a government an A, something mentally have to be wrong with you.
Well, you don't get no A as long as we have some of the challenges we have.
I'm being real. Any government, whether it's the PLP or FNL, first year coming in, you can't get no A.
Not overall, no.
Because a lot of things that you have on the drawing board in the pipeline, it hasn't come to reality as yet. Mm-hmm. And I honestly believe that a lot of things that the Progressive Liberal Party government has in the pipeline, it would become a reality. But, you know, the biggest thing is that, you know, when they ask me about accomplishments about the PLP, I think the biggest accomplishment, and to me now, this is my only opinion, is when Mr. Davis decided to open this country.
Okay.
And Vaughn, I got tongue lashing from one of my own PLP persons because, remember, we couldn't have had no house building, the housings and different roads and different things unless the country was open. It's fair to say that?
Let me say this to you, DeWitt, and here's where we talked about this yesterday. I talked about this yesterday, and here's where I give them credit. And people say, I think my mic's hot, and people say that, you know, you give them too much credit. But when Davis Lowe's took over, it signaled to a lot of people that we were truly moving on in terms of the pandemic.
Right.
And that feeling was undeniable.
At least, and then the thing about it, I also, you know, recognize, not because he's my member of parliament, but Dr. Dowell as the Minister of Health and Wellness, and every last doctor, every last nurse, every last porter, every last person, the PMH, who helped to get a grip on this COVID situation. So, you know, I will tell anybody that as long as Mr. Davis keeps on this road, see, it's a good road that he's on, but the only way that we can last as a government and Mr. Davis' name can live on as a good prime minister, if the rest of the people, I'm talking about the people as like members of parliament, cabinet ministers, the movers and shakers of the government, if y'all don't do things and Mr. Davis doing things, you know, the PLP can look bad, sorry to say it like that, but we all have to come on board with Mr. Davis, and he's doing a pretty excellent job. I know one thing. That's the first time in my life seeing a prime minister putting himself out there on the world stage like that. And I congratulate him for that. I honestly congratulate him for that. And I hope that investors will come here so that you could have something, I could have something, PLPF, and whoever. We all can have something.
Okay, appreciate it, my brother.
Yeah, brother.
All right. So, you know, DeWitt's a supporter of the current administration. We got another phone call? Let's do it. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, Juan McCartney. How you doing? Jalen Johnson.
Hey, how's it going, man?
Yeah, I agree with you. Is that instead of the A, B, C, D scale, I just say they performed above average. What has happened is that for them to go up and beyond, there was, you know, we talk about the things that need to be done, but there's a lot of low-hanging fruit through legislation, freedom of information, transparency law, anti-corruption, you know, finance reform, land reform, all these different things, low-hanging fruit that could have been passed through Parliament. Because, again, the government just simply passed the laws that implement the infrastructure, the skeletal, and then you move to the civil service.
I don't think their legislative agenda has been
impressive, right?
Impressive, yeah,
right.
Or robust at all.
What is more important than looking back is the fact that this economy took a 3-year beating when you look all the way through Grand Bahama, having a cascading effect across the economy. Because it was this running thing, these variable impacts, so then you'd have to ticket it. Would be to see an economic agenda going forward so that individuals can look on how they will be integrated into the marketplace, considering even for 15,000 young people is sitting on the perch trying to find out where they fit in, as well as those individuals that haven't really been reintegrated into the economy since the COVID lockdown, and you know, working part-time, reduced rates, everything else. So what will be impressive right now is in the next 30 days, if they come with an aggressive, growth campaign for the economy, and this is what you're going to be moving to, and you could have enough information to actually prepare yourself. That's what I look forward to.
All right. I'm looking forward to it, too. I mean, I don't get any indication that there's some robust legislative agenda going on that's going to go on over this next year either, you know? So, this person's still emailing me about Minnis. Yeah, man, look, here, take this with you, all right? Take this with you. He became prime minister, and nobody can take that away from him. Okay? Nobody. So that Minnis can hang that in his library right there. He became prime minister. All right? Never mind that he was bitterly rejected 4.5 years later. He did become prime minister. All right? So you go and tell him I said that. He became prime minister, and I congratulate him on that. It's not an easy feat. It says, let's separate the MP's jobs from their appointed posts. Many people driving the blue plate wave and do nothing substantial. We ain't impressed in no way, King. I said this yesterday. I don't know what half of y'all do. All right? Honestly. Real talk. Like, I know what a lot of your portfolio responsibility entails, but in terms of Davis making the case that he needs this huge cabinet in order to tackle all these problems in the country, I don't see that happening. All right? I mean, there's a lot I don't know. There's stuff maybe going on behind the scenes, but I don't know. I don't see a lot of y'all really about no action. I'll be honest with you. And that's your fault. All right? That's your fault. And it's telling, because you would think that if you were really wanting to make a mark, you would stand out. You go like, let me tackle a couple of things. These are going to be my things, and I'm gonna do that. Right? That would have been what I would have done. But that a lot of people have like faded into the background doesn't mean the work's not getting done. Just means that people aren't understanding what you're actually doing. And I try to pay close attention, and I can't figure out what it is you're doing. All right? I just want one job. That's all I want. I want one job. Even if it's not political, I want one job. Let me go do that. Let me go knock that out the park, and then give me something else to do. All right? I'll read this and then we gotta go. This says, Juan, the only huge difference that I've seen is in leadership quality. Minnis, after 4 years, showed no positive leadership qualities from his first pronouncements on the international stage that the Bahamas is a corrupt place to him using the emergency orders. I admit no other PM has had such a hand dealt to them, but it is what it is. Davis has come out in his pronouncements and portrayed the Bahamas as a place to be. Economically speaking, our economy rebounds as always because of tourism. If you mess up tourism, you mess up the economy. So it isn't rocket science as to why money is flowing. The business people, local and international, who invest make this economy flow. It has very little to do with the government. They provide oversight and sometimes infrastructure at best. really, these are the guys who will spend $70-plus million on a baseball stadium while at the same time can't even provide uniform for every child who needs them. Let that sink in. Yeah, well said. Yeah, well said. All right. Yeah, so that's my assessment in terms of economically. I give them above average marks, but I haven't seen anything remarkably impressive. In terms of the carbon credits, which ain't really tied to the economy at this point in a significant way, with that, I've been impressed. That it seems his agitation has at least paid off in some public commitments. All right. Okay, so that's where we are. So many texts talking bad about Minnis. It's not necessary, okay? It'll be fine. He'll be okay. All right? You're not going to get me to sit here and lie about it. It's just not going to happen. I'm not going to lie about what happened. I'm not going to jump on nobody run because you want somebody run. Keep in mind, particularly a young fellow out there, maybe, just maybe, some of us know some stuff through experience that you don't, and that's why we take the route we take. All right? Keep that in mind as you grow, young Padawan. We're out of here. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.